Earth, sky.
Eventually, we are going to be forced into some kind of a synthesized fuel economy. And hydrogen is by far the most likely because it's a super fuel, really, really good. We're going to wind up there because we're going to run out of fossil fuels.
You are listening to Vernon P. Rowan, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Rowan is Professor Emeritus of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at the University of Florida. He chairs a committee for the National Research Council, which reviews the latest development on hydrogen cars. He talked about hydrogen cars with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Rowan, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about the report that you chaired for the National Research Council, which looked at whether hydrogen should fuel the cars of the future. What did you find?
Well, we think that the government should still be supporting the efforts in fuel cells and hydrogen, although we do recognize that this is a long-term technology. This isn't something that's going to happen overnight. So it's going to take years of continued R&D and a lot of efforts on the part of the industry as well as the government to ever get to the point to where we can realize the benefits that we would have from hydrogen and fuel cell powered vehicles.
Now, give our listeners a bit of context. What is the state today in 2010 of the hydrogen car?
The hydrogen fuel cell car is now operating around the world. The state of this is that these are still demonstration vehicles and they're still being fairly carefully controlled. For example, General Motors made 100 of the Chevrolet Equinox, converted these vehicles to fuel cell power and hydrogen fuel. And these 100 vehicles, they have been putting in the hands of typical users 6 or 8 weeks at a time. The vehicles go to particular people and they use them for 6 or 8 weeks and then they return them to General Motors and General Motors passes them on to someone else. And so the there are people getting experience and there are several hundred of them operating in the United States right now. And of course, the national laboratories and NREL have been collecting data so that we have some idea of what some of the problems are and where additional efforts need to go into resolving some of the issues that remain.
One thing I found in the report was that research into these alternative fuels, research into biofuels, research into the batteries that are used for hybrid electric cars, that research into hydrogen can fit hand in hand, I guess, with these other alternative fuels. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. We see three alternative paths for reducing our dependence on petroleum, as well as reducing greenhouse gas and other emissions. And those three alternatives are using biofuels. And these biofuels could be used in typical engines that are already in service. And the second path is through more electrification. And that is you remove the propulsion energy from petroleum in your gas tank and you switch it mostly over to electricity. And so you're cutting down then, since we produce almost no electricity from petroleum, the more you do this, the lower is going to be the petroleum demand. And then the third path is the use of hydrogen, and particularly in fuel cell vehicles. And hydrogen does not have to be used in fuel cell vehicles. It could also be used in regular internal combustion engines. However, fuel cells are more efficient. And so if you're going to go to the trouble to carry the hydrogen on board the vehicle, you would probably want to use the most efficient means of converting it to useful work, namely locomotion power. And this would mean using fuel cells.
Now, one of the criticisms of hydrogen cars are that they will always be decades away, that you know, bringing their costs down is just too unwieldy to do. What's your response to that?
Well, I don't think that it's quite that bad. I base this on the evidence that our committee has been gathering. And the fact is that this is the third report. This is phase three of our overseeing. And I say our, I'm talking about the National Academy. I happen to be on all three of the committees, but some of the people are different from one committee to the next. Nevertheless, this is the third phase of it. We have seen the projected price of mass manufacture of fuel cell systems come down dramatically. Just to give an example, just between the last phase, and we published our last report in the spring of 2008, and the projected price at that time for manufacturing 500,000 fuel cell units, this would be for propulsion systems for cars, was approximately $107 per kilowatt. Well, between phase two and phase three, and this is only 2 years, that number has come down to a projected cost of between $60 and $70 per kilowatt. And that, by the way, compares to current cost of propulsion systems for automobiles of in the neighborhood of $25 to $40 a kilowatt. And so we're really not too far right now from being cost competitive with the conventional IC engine.
You've been listening to Vernon P. Rowan, Professor Emeritus of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at the University of Florida. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.